got our buddy, our friend, our pal, our fourth leg, Mr. Paul Preston on the phone from the Movie Guys. Hey, Paul.
Hey-o.
How are you, buddy?
Fourth leg. What are we, a hyena or a lion or something? are we not men?
We got four legs in front and hind legs in back.
What up, gang?
Hey.
What's up, brother? Say hi to our new co-host here.
That one who took the sleep study.
Yes.
I did do that.
I'm so glad you're there, because I did the same thing a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
And it's not like you sleep well. So good to see you on the show.
Yeah. I know. I was like, I wonder how I'm going to be. It's probably just going to be silly if I don't sleep. But I'm always silly, so I guess it worked out.
There you go. Yeah.
I was diagnosed. I did the... what's the machine? The CPAP machine?
Oh, the CPAP, yep.
But eventually weaned myself off it and got sort of back to sleeping well. So, you know, that could happen for you, and I hope it does if it helps.
I don't think I knew that was an option, so that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear a success story, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't get worse. I mean, maybe I got in better shape or something. I don't know. But,
but you're always in good shape. What are you talking about?
I appreciate that. That's why this is a radio show. If you saw me, good Lord.
You're still in good shape. Hey, you're in better shape than I am. That's for damn sure.
And I have to tell you a quick story.
Yeah.
First of all, get your ass to Graceland, all of you listening, if you've never been.
Oh, God.
When I lived in Chicago, for no reason, I just got up one weekend and said, I'm going to Graceland, and I went to Graceland. And I'm not even an Elvis guy compared to, like, Beatles or Stones. He's probably third in that, if you compared the three.
Mm-hmm.
But I came away with a huge appreciation, and just that place is amazing. But the weirder story I have for you, based on the beginning of the show, in Robin Williams, inside the actor's studio, he's always running to the front row doing bits, grabbing scarves, being an old woman, you know, all this crazy stuff. And this girl is laughing hysterically.
Oh, yeah, that heavy, real heavy set gal? Yeah. Oh, my
college
gosh.
Friend. She's a college friend.
Is she really?
Lisa. Yeah, she's.
Oh, my gosh.
Lipton hated her for that. She has a laugh that is just nuts. It's like,
she's crying in the video.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, Williams will not relent, and he's calling her out, and he just stays on her. And apparently afterwards, because she was a student there, Lipton was like, you know, don't do that again to my prestigious show. How dare you?
How dare you laugh at Robin Williams?
Oh, boy.
I went to a Q&A for the film 1 Hour Photo, which you may know is like a really dramatic Robin Williams movie.
Great
he comes
film.
Out for the Q&A and was drop dead hilarious. I'm like, okay, it doesn't matter what movie he's in. The guy's in person.
Yeah.
Just a rip. Anyway, the point is we have to bubble wrap Harrison Ford and Bill Murray.
Mm. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. You know, real quick, Paul, before we get into anything, have you seen the new trailer for Indiana Jones 5?
Hell yes.
What do you think?
Oh, my God, it's going to be amazing.
Really?
First of all, oh, my God, James Mangold, for one, doesn't make bad movies.
What are some of his hits so far? I'm not familiar.
310 to Yuma, Logan, Copland,
okay.
The Wolverine,
okay.
Ford versus Ferrari.
He's taking over the directing duties. All good.
Yeah. So he's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, if Spielberg passed it off to anybody, he's probably better than another sort of student of Spielberg like Zemeckis or somebody like that.
Nice.
So it's going to hopefully have a nice grounded sentiment along with nostalgia, but Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones on a horse running down a train in the New York, plus new locations. I'll take New York City. Haven't seen it yet.
Right.
So I'm all about it. You know, it's clearly there's some de-aging going on, so I don't know if that's flashbacks or time travel.
I've heard rumors of time travel.
Yeah, my buddy at
that's what worries me.
Yeah,
seriously.
Well, my buddy Adam in the Movie Guys said, look, there's a whole space between like Crusade and Crystal Skull where it's just Indiana Jones and World War II fighting Nazis. I'll go back and watch some of that. You know, it's the de-aging that I hope just isn't distracting.
Correct. Yeah.
Like in The Irishman, it was distracting. Mm-hmm. And like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or Tron Legacy, it wasn't. So it could go either way.
You felt The Irishman was distracting in The Irishman? Really?
Well, not only was it de-aged, but they looked soft. They changed De Niro's eye color. And so the whole thing looked weird.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it was distracting.
I didn't notice it that much for me. So I enjoyed The Irishman. So
it's a good film, but every But I kept having to go,
while
I'm watching it, which is not what you want to do. You want to be involved in the story and all that stuff.
Okay. And what's that? What's that sound again, Paul?
I was like, yeah. Okay. I made it a lot during Black Adam. We talked about
it. All righty, buddy. Well, real quick, because I know we're short on time now, what movie should we go see now?
Well, the movie to see, for me, perhaps the film of the year, is Cate Blanchett in Tar. Mm. This might be my favorite film of the year. Right now, it's a mix between that, Top Gun Maverick, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and The Banshees of Inisherin, kind of all colliding at the top to see what's going to take number one. But those are probably my top four, and I'll order them eventually. But Tar is mesmerizing. It's also because I saw it December 17th. I don't think, including today, there's a day where I haven't talked about it. Yeah. Just talking about this movie constantly. This character, Cate Blanchett plays this brilliant sort of rock star symphonic conductor who also teaches, and she's named Lydia Tarr. That's where the title comes from. Mm-hmm. And she's perhaps the most complicated character I have perhaps ever seen in a movie. She's no doubt brilliant. She is seems to have an abuse of power. She flirts with affairs, but she seems to love her wife. Is the relationship with her assistant poisonous? Is she a monster? Is she a victim? There are shades of cancel culture, shades of separating the art from the artist, and an overall feeling that is any of this our business?
There's love, there's adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. The best thing is that it's not soft on any of these topics. It takes its time. It's like a 2 hour and 2.5 hour movie or something.
Wow.
Or was that maybe with trailers? But either way, it was they just dig deep. And Blanchett,
I love her.
Good God.
Amazing.
She has 2 Oscars. She should probably have 4 or 5. And
yeah, I agree.
It's the best performance of any sex person this year. Kind of like I remember years ago when Amy Adams was in Junebug. I just thought, actor, actress, this is the best performance of the year. This performance by Cate Blanchett is perhaps the performance of her career. It's the performance of the year. It is. I don't see how anybody else pulls off this move.
Got it.
She's amazing. And Todd Field, the director, has called her danger seeking. And you can see that in every frame of this movie. She's just pulling out all the stops, taking the scenes to work, but never showy. She's never like, I'm putting on a show. She just is the character. And awesome. She's amazing.
Cool. All right. What's next, buddy?
Oh, wait. I should also say Todd Field. This is his first film in 16 years. The last one was Little Children, and before that, he made In the Bedroom. And I think those are the only films he's made. So he's not doing this much. Get out and see it, because watching him work for the first time in a while and watching Blanchett and anything she's in while you're walking the earth with her are probably required. So
right. I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah. Next up is Babylon, the fourth film from Damien Chazelle, who I love because he crafted the amazing life and love affirming La La Land, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. This is a departure from that, to say the least. But all his films do is win Oscars. You got Whiplash, which won, I think, script as well as the J.K. Simmons, who you mentioned before, is best supporting actor turn in that. La La Land
won an Oscar. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum.
Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. Yeah. best supporting actor. But Chazelle won directing La La Land, and the film won 5 other Oscars, and the first man won for best visual effects. And so Babylon has a really good chance of winning for the production value and, again, the score, like it also won for La La Land. This guy, Justin Hurwitz, is incredible. But I'm not sure it's going to win anything else. I don't know if it's going to get nominated for Best Picture, because it is really divisive and it shoots for the, you know, for the stars and pulls out all the stops to show in over 3 hours the paths of 4 people caught up in the insanity and, capital letters, debauchery of the silent film era. You got Brad Pitt. You got Brad Pitt playing a leading man actor coping with moving into sound films. You got Margot Robbie playing a young starlet who's like a nobody, then suddenly she's a big deal and she struggles with juggling talent, fame, and like having to be classy when she is not. She's just I can't remember her name, Nora May or whatever from the Backwoods. You got a guy I've never heard of named Jovan Odepo, who is a rising black trumpet player, but he's dealing with the racism of the 20s. And Diego Calva, who was on the show Narcos, his character kind of runs through all the storylines in various positions. He's an assistant here. He works his way up to like a big name in the studios. And you watch them all. Chazelle seemed to be in love with movies with La La Land. He loved, seemed to love art, artists, dreamers, love. And with this, I think he's like, I don't know, I think he hates the film, the style of film because he's showing you an industry that chews you up and spits you out, uses you for what you need, sends you packing. I mean, I guess that still goes on. But
well, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like it's today's Hollywood. No,
it's not much time.
Yeah.
Sure, this was 100 years ago, Paul? but Chazelle's making the case that this was never more cynical than that era. Drugs, sex, orgies. The first 20 minutes of the movie is a huge orgy.
I'm going to like it.
Drugs.
That's my kind of movie.
Behavior. Yeah. All this stuff was on the plate. But about 90 minutes in, because, again, 3 hours, I was thinking, this is a satire. Anyone who hates this is like not getting that it's a satire because it's so over the top in the depravity and the decadence. It's next level that I thought this was some kind of statement of, that the film wanted to make about these people. But it kind of takes turns to be like then important. Like Gene Smart plays a head of Hopper type gossip columnist who gives a great speech to Pitt's character. And you're like, oh, that was really deep. Are we in a different movie? In the end, it kind of becomes like a thriller almost, kind of the way Boogie Nights was kind of like, hey, we're having fun and having sex, and by the end it's like, you know, the darkest part of Dirk Diggler's life. He's drug deals and things are going poorly and he knows he's got to get out. It's kind of this kind of runs that same arc, although longer. And by the very end, Chazelle makes a statement that is kind of separate from the rest of the film. I wish the movie stayed in the real world to the end. And it's not giving away too much of a spoiler because it's kind of his attack down thing at the end. But throughout, there are moments of excitement, really tense moments, and there's just so much of it. You're going to like a lot of it. But I think it's a mixed bag, and I think even those who love it more than me would probably agree.
Nice.
But worth checking out because Chazelle's just the hottest director.
And that's Babylon, right?
Yeah. That's Babylon.
Babylon. Yeah. All right, cool. What's next, Paul?
Well, I know time's short. We're going to talk about two more, but I'll just throw one more at you, which is Empire of Light. I like movies about movies. You know, Hollywood gets a lot of crap. You know, they're probably giving it to Babylon as well for like, oh, they just love movies about movies in Hollywood and glorifying it. Da, da, da. Well, maybe actors and artists are really interesting people. Sorry, but I think that's the case, you know? But this kind of looks at movies from a different angle. It's from Sam Mendes. He's the director of Skyfall and Spectre, but let's not forget he also made American Beauty and won the Oscar for that.
Yes,
In 1917. So he's like a prestige project guy. He was a real get for Bond. You know, getting Mendes. Was like, Mendes is going to do Bond? He made Road to Perdition, you know? But
oh, I love that show.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yes.
Right? So this is another prestige project. But what's so simple, it's perhaps going to be overlooked. I think people might remember Olivia Colman's performance in this, but check it out. Make up your own mind. Again, Colman's one of these actresses like Blanchette. Is she in a movie? I should go and see what she's doing because it's going to be interesting. And she plays a woman working in the 1980s cinema in Great Britain. A lot of this sort of Sam Mendes directs a lot of other people's scripts, kind of like Spielberg, but he wrote this one the way Spielberg co-wrote The Fablemans because both those are like personal stories they wanted to tell. So this is the Great Britain cinema, 1980s, and Olivia Colman plays a woman working there, forms a relationship with a new employee, but she's also struggling with these mental health issues. The new employee is also black, and there's a lot to contend with in terms of England's racist past. So there's a lot on the table. Yet I still kind of felt like I wanted more, but what's there is really good. And for the ride you're going on, Mendes brings you the best to go with. You got Roger Deakins, who shot Skyfall and won the Oscar for Blade Runner 2049, with the Coen brothers a ton. He's like the best DP there is, absolutely. And a surprisingly gorgeous score. Actually, not too surprising. I think now Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross from Nine Inch Nails are surprising in everything they do in film. But this is a lush, gorgeous score from them. So it's a super sincere film. You can feel, you know, Sam Mendes' heart's really in it, and you can get swept up in a lot of it. And if you love movies, Toby Jones is there playing the projectionist at this old cinema, who has a lot of the monologues and moments that remind you how great film is, and maybe to help heal herself. Maybe Olivia Colman should watch one of those movies, you know, in the theater that she works at. So there's a lot going on. And it's handled, again, very, very simply. But so, you know, don't go in expecting this is not Babylon. you will have two different movies about movies. You want crazy, you know, over the top Babylon. You want simple and plainly felt and very sincere. Go with Empire of Light. But above them all, I can't recommend Tar more highly.
Right. Paul, before we let you go, buddy, I want to get your opinion, because speaking of past history and everything, whatever, I saw that Mel Brooks is coming out with History of the World Part 2, finally, but this time it's going to be more of a episodic type of a thing. Do you think it's going to work just as well as watching a full-length movie?
Well, I mean, I think it could. You know, because the History of the World Part 1 was so divided into segments that, yeah, you can kind of stretch them out, put them on Hulu. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited that Ike Barinholtz is part of it. You know, he's been a friend of the movie guys for a while, and a good friend of my buddy Adam, going way back to Chicago. And so all of his success, we're excited to see, not just Mad TV, but now moving into films, and for him to be a part of this as a writer, I think is good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mel... people are saying, oh, Mel hasn't had it, you know, in years, you know, because 1974, clearly, to put Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein out in the same year, I mean, just insane. It's, yeah. It's a comedic point, not often hit. But then, you know, you got into Dracula Dead and Loving It, Life Stinks, were these good movies, people are wondering. But then he kind of stopped doing movies, and you think about the things he did do, like The Producers on Broadway, which is great.
Oh, my God, that was so good.
Yeah, his book, you know, so like the things he's done lately are great. So I think if he's come out of the woodwork to say, this is a project worth putting my time into, I think however it's delivered, I think we're in for a good time. And I hear there's a video right now online where he announces it and shows the first trailer. So I've got to go watch that when I'm done with it. Like, it just like came out this morning. I didn't get a chance to see it before we came on here. So I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, because that's one thing is, I mean, I know, he, you know, Mel's about becoming 2,000-year-old himself, you know. Mm. And I mean... yeah. And just wondering, does he still have it? Will it still work out? And I think so, because with Mel, if it's funny, it's funny. It's going to make you laugh.
Get more bubble wrap for him.
Yeah, too. Yeah, a lot of bubble wrap for Mel. Yeah. You know, because I still heard too that he was supposed to be doing a sequel to Spaceballs.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I still want that to happen. You know, before he passes. You know.
Well, there's been so much Star Wars since 87. Mm-hmm. You know, there's plenty to spoof.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Brother, it is always good to talk to you about the movies, and I know you love talking about them, and we love you for that as well. So thank you so much. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's a great time of year because the SAG Award nominations just came out, and the Golden Globes just came out. So it's award season, like the best. Yeah, I hate that they dump them all on you at the end of the year, and then you have like a month to see 40 movies to know what the hell these are by the time they get all these nominations. But your chances of seeing something good just went up, you know, in January because of the wider release of all these art films. So get out there and see something. And then I'm sure next time I'm on, the Academy Award nominations will have come out and we'll talk about that.
Oh, can't wait, buddy. Can't wait.
And of course, it goes without saying, leave Will Smith's wife's name.
Good stuff. Love you, brother. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, buddy.
Farewell.
All right, bye. Take care.